This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Accelerate your day with today's business headlines with Volvo Cars.
7:48 right now. Melissa Chuang and Joyce here with you to bring you the top business headlines of the day. But before that, let me tell you what's coming up on the Breakfast Grill in about 15 minutes or so. We are going to continue our look at the property sector, which has been making the news lately. MOF and Bank Negara weighing in on the oversupply in the market as well as house prices. So we're going to continue our focus on property developers on the Breakfast Grill. On Monday, we had MK Land. Yesterday, Vision, which I believe does affordable housing. And today, Joyce, you're going to be speaking to Crest Builder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Eric Yong, a managing director of Crest Builder. This was a recorded grill and prior to some of the recent news on property. However, we did discuss the hot topic of affordable housing. Also asked, you know, why are property developers shying away from it? I asked him because they are not into that segment.
Mm, so why aren't they, right? So yeah. Eric Yong is the second generation of his founding family.
Yes, so he shares his journey because he took over the driving seat of the company 3 years ago. And they're also in construction. So we have a discussion on construction and property.
All right. Okay, more on that on the Breakfast Grill coming up just after the 8 o'clock news. Eric Yong, the CEO of the managing director of Crest Builder. So let's come back and take a quick look at Sime Darby Property, still on the theme of property. Sime Darby Property is now the sole master developer of the Malaysian Vision Valley project, the MVV. It is a 379,000-acre project. And I believe this is after the Brunsfield and Quap partners decided to drop out as co-master developers with this project. So Sime Darby going at it alone.
Yeah, so this project is absolutely massive. It's twice the size of Singapore. It's about southwest of Putrajaya. It spans both Selangor and Negeri Sembilan, and it's going to be over 30 years. And I think primarily invested in developing Negeri Sembilan as a state. Sime Darby Property, Brunsfield and Co-op were both co-master builders, signed a couple of years ago. But for whatever reason, I'm not sure why Brunsfield has decided to drop out, but Co-op, I think earlier this year, talked about a realignment of their interest. They're going to be interested in doing more in the listed equity space and a little bit more in the alternative investment space.
They didn't want to be master developer this project.
Yeah, they did at the time, but not anymore.
Yeah, so they signed the MOU in May. This is MOU to develop this, and a source close to the fund told Starbiz that, you know, they're not keen to be part of the master developer project because it is too large an entity such as Co-op, but they have expressed interest in coming on as a partner in sub parts of the development.
Right. So the idea now is for Sime Property to go at it alone, get a large developer with deep pockets to invest as the master developer, and they have smaller funds and smaller property developers to put their money in the different portions because it's going to take over 30 years to develop this.
Yes, and also a lot of money because you're looking at some 300 billion ringgit in creating, you know, 1.4 million jobs. I think that's the target. But looking at how much investments is going to need to pump into that over 30 years.
Very simplistically, Co-op has got an AUM fund size of about 141 billion ringgit. That 300 billion GDV is twice, more than two times the size of Co-op. So obviously it's very big. But, you know, it's going to be done over phases, right? And I think initially there was one master development concept that was proposed by Brunsfield, which was later shelved, I think, by the stakeholders in favour of a Sime Darby property-led master plan. And the first phase, I think, is over about 11,000 acres.
Okay, so talk to me about this project because, you know, I don't know much about the Malaysian Valley, Vision Valley MVV. All I know is that it is going to be just after Sepang all the way to Negeri Sembilan. So that's a huge acreage. It's twice the size of Singapore.
Yes.
The question really is, I mean, if you're going to develop that area, I mean, is there going to be demand? It's quite far out of the city. Where is it? What is it going to be supplying for?
Well, the high-speed rail was supposed to cut across the development with at least two stations located within the development. One of the stations, I think, was supposed to be in Labu in Negeri Sembilan. So, you know, the HSR project now deferred. So well, but there is an existing railway line, I think, with a stop in Labu to provide connectivity.
I think it's absolutely an apt description perception of or question where is the demand going to come from, because this area is by and large undeveloped.
Yeah.
And it contains towns like Seremban
and
Nilai and Port Dickson, it's not exactly the megapolis of wealth, right? There's going to be a central business district. There's going to be a biopolis and wellness city. There's going to be a sports and recreation city. But that demand for that commercial space has got to be coming from somewhere.
Yeah.
Right?
So where is it going
to
be? And I have to say, though, Port Dickson is really getting a lot of attention lately. I mean, what with the by-election. So apparently the Negeri Sembilan State Government has been the other principal proponent for the MVV project. And because it is going to cover this area right up to Port Dickson, this could also, I mean, timing is everything, right? It's in the headlines for a reason. And we have the by-election at Port Dickson with the Prime Minister in waiting just a few weeks away.
That's right. And, by and large, Port Dickson is only about an hour away from KL. Now, do you know that you can buy a bungalow there for about less than $1 million baht?
So are they looking at residential property there and then workers within the Klang Valley region?
I think it's a mix.
It's going to be a mix. There's commercial, there's retail, there's all kinds of concept stuff. But 30 years is a long time.
So the question is, how is this going to be different than Iskandar? Because Iskandar Iskandar Malaysia in Johor was meant for, that was the idea, right? To develop this metropolis of wealth and education and sports, and you had different segments of it. So perhaps this is a similar idea, but what will make this one take off well?
Well, as MVV, I think it was planned as an expansion of Greater KL, building on the organic growth they're looking at, and then to the south. That's what news reports have it when they first announced that. It was kicked off, I think, in 2017, as we said, right? And at that time, I think they were saying that MVV will form a key part of the 11th Malaysia Plan and the National Transformation Plan. But that was during the before GE14.
Yeah, before property prices, the property sector is seeing the kind of, oversupply that we're seeing today. Now, we've been speaking to property analysts, and they have been warning that perhaps that we are on the cusp of the property bubble bursting. Who knows? I mean, this is a forward planning. It's going to take many years for this to come, but it is the country's largest property project and not one to be undertaken lightly. But let's shift now to the other big news of the day. Country Heights stating that they will be taking very patient and prudent steps as it plans to issue its own cryptocurrency. So Country Heights is a property developer. They are looking to issue a cryptocurrency called Horse Currency. And it is backed by the group's existing assets.
2 billion ringgit worth, apparently, of group assets with an initial 300 million horse currencies open for circulation.
Horse currencies. Okay, is this because of the golden...
Palace of the Golden Horses. He's an equestrian guy.
But it's not... I mean, it gives all sorts of connotations. This is coming from me personally. It feels like it's,
bit of a bet.
giving the connotations of a bet as opposed to an investment.
Well, Country Heights claims that this is going to be the first local public listed company to come up with such an initiative. But remember the SC, they're quite they've announced a couple of measures when it comes to ICO, and they've also they've taken a strict stance on this controversial method of fundraising, so it doesn't come with warnings and all that. But I think they have to get, coming back to Country Heights, they have to get the shareholders' approval first, right, before they embark on this ICO.
For sure. I think this is just a plan that they're having. They have to get all the approvals, all the steps, shareholders, you've got to get the consultants on. Then you have to get the regulators on board as well. So I'm sure they'll go through all the necessary steps.
Yeah, I mean, the market has got every reason to want to tread with caution here, because in the past, Country Heights has, raised capital, which in methods that have not been the most above board. I think the grower scheme seven years ago comes to mind. And by its very nature, because ICOs are by and large unregulated by any central bank around the world, then you're basically collecting funds from basically normal people from all around the globe. Everyone who has got an internet account can buy your token.
Mm. Yeah, okay, so when you say token, it's not like a crypto, it's not like a Bitcoin. It's a utility token that can be exchanged for products and services.
Like hotel rooms or entry
to
the mines, resort
city. Including stays at the Palace of the Golden Horses, golf memberships, private jet trips. Yeah, and medical treatments.
So the problem here is because blockchain technology is an amazing technology, right? It's just disintermediated. It is highly accountable. There doesn't leave any room for fraud, etc. As a technology, it's amazing. But for a currency to be pegged on it, It's giving the whole technology a bit of a bad name. And that's the problem.
Remember the SE had shot down a number of ICOs, including the La Vida coin, backed by Dato' Sri Vida, and also Singapore-backed Copy Cash coin.
Okay. Well, we'll give you the 8 o'clock news bulletin, the headlines coming up shortly. But stay tuned, because after that, we have the Breakfast Grill with Crest Builder on the show. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. Good morning. It's 8:49 right now, just turning 8:50. I'm Melissa Idris with Kusu Chuang and Joyce Goh. And we're looking at Assam Darby Property, which is now going to be the sole master developer for the Malaysian Vision Valley project. This is a 379,000-acre project. It is touted to be the country's largest property development yet. And it's going to be, I believe, just after, so Sepang all the way to Port Dickson. So crossing state lines.
Yeah, spanning two states, Selangor, Negeri Sembilan, including Port Dickson, as you say, Seremban, twice the size, the size of this region, twice the size of Singapore. Can you imagine? Yeah. It's going to span 30 years. I think there's initially six different phases. Phase one comprises about 12,000 acres. GDV is somewhere in excess of 300 billion ringgit. But now Sime Darby Property is going to go it alone. Or Sime Darby is going to go it alone because Brunsfield and Co-op, which is, of course, the government pension fund, has dropped out. Actually, we don't really know the reason, but I think sources believe that they think Co-op says it's too big to participate.
Yeah, it's too large as an entity such as for Co-op. That's what an executive close to the fund told Starbiz. Coming back to this, I think Sime Darby Property, they already own large tracts of land in the area where MVV will be developed, and MVV has been a cornerstone for the group for the past 10 years. But it's gonna take 30 years and 300 billion ringgit investments. As you said, it's, you know, who's going to come here, who's going to invest, who's going to buy this. It's a huge development.
It is a huge one. The idea is to have that high-speed rail, the HSR, cut across the MVV. So I believe there's going to be two stations already within the development, one in Labu. One of the stations will be in Labu, Negeri Sembilan. But, you know, this is, as you mentioned, Joyce, it's going to be a huge development. Who's going to be buying it? Where is the demand going to come from for such a massive property development? Because really, I mean, no offense, I love PD. It's a great place to go. But who's going to be buying up these properties? You know, is there going to be industrial and commercial demand for this?
Well, you can say it's probably quite preemptive of Co-op to do this because, you know, Co-op is run by Dr. Wan K, right? Obviously, he's been in the grill a few times. Quite an astute character. Mm-hmm. You could say that maybe a year ago, this region would have been an interesting project from a commercial perspective because you've got the high-speed rail confirmed, you've got those things, the high, all these stations confirmed, and since G14, that high-speed rail is no longer on the cards.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it would have been, I guess, a bit of a dicey gamble to be gambling civil service pension funds on something that which is no clear ROI. As you say, Melissa, this region is not exactly one of the most wealthy or monetized in the region.
Right? Yeah. So,
they would have just said, "Oh, let's take a calculated bet and then not put our money where our mouth, you know, where we inked 2 years ago."
They signed this in May 2017, actually. So
last year.
So fast. I mean, could it be because of G14? You know, but looking at this, although the HSR project has been deferred, I think there's an existing railway line with a stop in Labu to provide connectivity. So there's still a railway line.
Yeah, but I think it needs to be. It has to have a selling point. So looking at Iskandar, Malaysia. So if you look at another big property development or a big master development region within a region, right? So you've got in Johor the Iskandar project. And I'm wondering what's going to drive this MVV project as opposed to, you know, what's happening with Iskandar. Right now, we've been talking in the news a lot about the oversupply in the property market, whether we are at the cusp of a property bubble. And who's going to buy these? Who's going to buy these houses?
Well, the MVV project, I think it's going to include development of five strategic clusters. They're looking at EduTech Valley, tourism and wellness, new livable township, central business district and nature city.
Yeah, integrated transport. There's a central business district what is essentially in the middle of nowhere. North of that central business district is a nature reserve. And to the right, more of the same.
What I find particularly interesting is that apart from Sime Darby Property, the Negeri Sembilan state government has been the other principal proponent for this MVV project. And
it's state development, essentially.
It's state development, but also Port Dickson is getting quite a lot of attention recently.
And guess who's
right?
in the by-election there? I wonder who.
I don't know, some unknown character. I'm not sure.
Actually, seven of them, right?
Seven. So, I'm not going to repeat all the names. But again, you know, I'm not, I guess, we have to look at what Negeri Sembilan has in store. So looking at how this development is going to pan out and who's going to be running the show, perhaps it's going to be time to go at it alone and maybe find smaller funds and property developers to put money into the smaller portions of this project.
Yeah, it could also cater to industries that, you know, who want to be located close to the airport, because it's fairly close to the airport, depending on where.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. So there's a potential there as well.
Yeah.
But you have to see, you know, the appeal and how long is it going to take to develop that whole area.
Correct. When you look at it, some months ago, they talked about a realignment of their investment strategy and they wanted to do more in the listed equity space and they also wanted to do more in the alternative investments, right? Right now, this is a bit of a crapshoot, actually. You know, I mean, 300 billion ringgit GDV, that's more than twice Co-op's AUM of 140 billion ringgit.
Yeah, you need deep pockets for this.
Deep pockets. Sime would have done a lot of the development sites, and Brunsfield would have done a lot of the concept planning, but Co-op would have funded quite a lot of it, being the money bags that it's supposed to be. Everybody plays a role.
So now you're having to look for perhaps another large developer with deep pockets to come in. Yeah. All right. Well, let's take a quick look at another property developer, Country Heights. They've stated that they will be quite patient and prudent in terms of before issuing their own cryptocurrency. So Country Heights, the property developer, wants to issue its own cryptocurrency called Horse currency. This is, of course, I'm sure, related to their Palace of the Golden Horses.
He's a bit of an equestrian man himself, Tan Sri Lee Kim Yew, the founder and chief executive of Country Heights Holdings. He's going to be raising about 1 billion, well, he's going to be offering about 1 billion horse currencies, backed by 2 billion ringgits.
Don't call it horse currency.
It's called horse currency.
With an initial 300 million of horse currencies open for circulation to the public. I don't know, it's... I don't want to be using those words.
Well, the group, they need to get the approval of shareholders, right, before they're going to embark on this whole ICO thing. So it's going to have to go through the shareholders at the EGM on November 8th. They also have to go through SC.
Yes.
Remember, SC's been quite vocal. You know, they've been quite vocal about ICOs. They've given warnings, you know, telling investors, you know, this is... guidelines and all that for ICOs. And in fact, I think if this ICO goes through, this horse currency, the currency will be used as a utility token that can be exchanged for products and services that include stays in a palace of the golden horses.
So a utility token, I can get some. I can stay at your hotel. I can get a private jet ride. I can
golf membership.
Get a golf membership.
Okay. Neither of you play golf, but the Mines used to be the de facto golf course of the country. It no longer is, and there's a lot of reasons. Country Heights, actually, they can raise money typically because they're a listed company. But if you've been losing money every year for the last 4 years, which they have, it's going to be difficult to raise capital from the capital markets.
I have not heard of a listed company wanting to raise money through an ICO before. They must be the first.
They must be the first.
Okay. Yeah.
There is a reason, because they can't typically raise money from the capital markets because they're loss-making, right? So it's a tough call. It's a tough proposition for them. But for them to countenance an ICO is very interesting.
But remember the SC, they had shot down a number of ICOs, including a La Vida coin backed by Dato Sri Vida, as well as Singapore based copy cash coin. I mean, these are not listed companies, but they tried to go for ICOs.
Well, Tan Sri Lee Kim Yew and Country Heights have not been strangers to alternative ways of fundraising.
Yes, the grower scheme.
6 years ago, they tried to do this in a grower scheme where they offered predictable returns on palm oil plots. Which, of course, went a bit pear-shaped. In fact, more than a bit pear-shaped. So,
I'm just curious to know. I mean, let's say if this plan gets the approval of the shareholders at the AGM, I'm curious to know how Securities Commission and the regulators will look at this. I know Securities Commission has been quite vocal about warning of the risks. So, you know, in terms of consumer protection, they're saying before you get into this, you should know what the risks are. Mm-hmm. Get yourself educated.
Mm. Yeah. The thing is, with ICOs, ICOs are typically the monetary or capital equivalent of what is essentially a fantastic technology, blockchains, right? Blockchains, by its nature, are very, very good because you can't defraud transactions because there's copies of it all over the world. It's hugely disintermediated, which means there's no middleman.
And I see Chong has been reading up on this.
He's got interest in ICOs.
Correct. Well, you know, you have to learn a lot, you know. so the monetary equivalents of cryptocurrencies are things like Ethereum and Bitcoins and things like that. But they are by and large unregulated in any central bank in any jurisdiction around the world.
So this is a test case here, right? It's unregulated, but Country Heights is listed.
Listed, yeah.
So it's kind of
a conflict.
Yeah, there's a regulation over it as well. So how will that play out?
All right. Okay, we've got the opening numbers from Bursa Malaysia coming up next in the 9 o'clock news bulletin, BFM 89.9.
Fuel your business drive with the Volvo S90 T8 twin engine. So cost efficient, it makes good business sense. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.